Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
Coming to... Oh my goodness. Coming to terms.
Coming to terms. Hey, that's kind of what you're doing right now. You're actually coming to the whole pregnancy.
I see what you did there.
It's funny. I am Carl. I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety day is August 22nd, 2014.
I'm Chelsea. I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is February 19th, 2015. This is SoberPod.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. SoberPod, keep it authentic, no facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
SoberPod is a podcast dedicated to the idea that one addict or alcoholic helping another is crucial to building a life in recovery. Join us on this season as we read from our book, 366 Fucking Days Sober. And as always, stay active, stay sober.
Stay active, stay sober. Yeah.
I feel like a newscaster whenever I say that.
Yeah.
You know?
And stay active, stay sober.
Stay classy,
see ya,
San Diego.
In the whale's vagina. Chelsea, it's good to see you again. Did you listen to Paul Summers on the last episode?
I haven't yet.
He is a funny dude. And I think here's the thing, like on the interview, probably not so funny, but like if you go check him out on the YouTubes and all the other stuff, mm-hmm. like there's one, my sponsor listened to it and then sent me a clip of him on YouTube talking about keeping his basically like peeing on his feet in the shower. You know, right. Because you want to disinfect your feet, and a good way to do that is to just pee on them in the shower.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I mean, you can literally watch the video and think that he was serious. I'm really kind of hoping that he wasn't. So I'm really leaning on the side that he was actually joking. I'm pretty sure it was because
Paul Summers does he wear glasses?
Well, I think he does. Yeah, yeah.
Is he bald?
Yeah. Do you know this guy?
Okay. So when I started my Instagram, like my recovery Instagram, which like kind of fizzled out, I haven't used it in years.
Sure.
He reached out to me on there, and I just like remember the name, and I remember him reaching out and just being like super welcoming and you know, actually paid attention to like what I had to say. It wasn't just like
he actually read it
alike. Yeah, like he would like respond and do stuff. So like
one of the things when he sent the email, I was like, you know, again, a lot of people don't make it past the bullshit filter. Like there's an immediate bullshit filter that I have when I start checking SoberPod email. I'm like, you know, bullshit. Hey, what's this one? You know what I mean? And it's and then of course I gave it a look, and then I'm like, oh, this is like, it was a genuine email. It was like, you know, from not only from a human and not a PR person, but it was from somebody who was like interested. And you could tell the difference between somebody who's coming to share a message and somebody who's coming to make some money, right? So it's
yeah, like to yeah, profit yeah, off of yeah, you know, the interaction. Yeah, get, yeah, that's so weird. I just recognized that name, and now I feel bad. I haven't listened to the episode yet, but you know, like
you son of a bitch.
Now I'm going to for sure, yeah. And I bet he doesn't even remember who I am or like that even like connection, but.
Dude, no, he totally remembers who you are. You're just a memorable person, period. you're just all yakety yak. Okay. So what we're doing here today, folks, is we read from our book, as you heard in the opener. We read from our book, 366 Effing Days Sober. This is a book that I wrote in my spare time the last time I was unemployed, which now I'm unemployed yet again. Oh my God.
Okay. Does that mean you need another book?
No, I haven't even thought about it, honestly. And really,
what if was God's way of turning you into an author?
Yeah,
you
making know what me I mean? Right. Yeah, like, it's like yes, just left. Yeah, you would think he would give me a better message.
sorry to interrupt, yeah, but
better
I just
material
had that thought.
Too. You know, like, you know, like come on, at least you know, oh, yeah, if it's inspired, man. You know, either way. So what we do is we read through this book, and today we're gonna do April 5th and April 6th because we figure probably everybody's gonna be reading this tomorrow anyway, or listening to this tomorrow. And then of course April 5th is just like, you know, it's a quick, if you've already listened to it, it's about creating your own mantra. So we're just gonna do like we're not gonna read the thing, so you can go back and listen to April 5th. But we are going to respond to like the challenge question. And then we're going to read April 6th, and then we're going to have, you know, kind of a regular episode. So we do these long form episodes where if you've just discovered us, we do these long form episodes once a week. We try to do them once a week. And then we do the short form, which is just me reading the book each day. So if you want to subscribe, like, you know, I don't know, put us in your pants and I don't know, knock us around a little bit, whatever you want to do. You know, when we're on your phone, you just want to like, subscribe, and then of course follow and do all that good stuff. Then you'll get those daily readings read to you. And then if you actually pay like the membership, you can actually go back and listen to all those if you'd like, because we have some of that stuff behind our little paywall. But other than that, we disable those as we move forward. And then we do our weekly episodes. And if you're so interested, we did the same thing with the Living Sober book, which is from AA World Services. And Chelsea and I would listen to a chapter, and then we would discuss the chapter on Living Sober. And it was, I mean, it's popular content for a period there. You know, it's our number one episode so far, still today, is the beginning of that series, which is New Beginnings is what it's called. And you can go back to, was it May 2022? Is that what it was?
I thought it was March. March 22.
Damn it. Somebody's going to have to tell us. Yeah, maybe it is March. Yeah, maybe it is March 2022. Or it could be May, though. Either way, go back and then start listening from there, and you'll get all the goodness that the Living Sober book has to offer. And our interpretation of it, I guess, at that point, too. So we're reading from this book, 366 Effing Days Sober. Chelsea, do you have any anything you'd like to tell the kind people before we begin?
You know, there's something that we just never promote, and it's our members.
Did I
section.
Need a job? I really need a job.
Carl needs a job. Any leads,
need a job.
Send them
if
to.
If you need a creative director, you know, see me at, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, go on.
Sorry. On soberpod.com, we have a members only section. And one way to help keep the podcast running is by subscribing to be a member. I'm not sure how much the cost is, but
it's a dollar. $2 or $5. And so here's the thing is like, you can, if you're a baller, we expect you to just click $5. You don't get any more like membership.
Yeah, but we know you're a baller.
Yeah, but we know you're a baller. That's the idea. So if you really appreciate the podcast and you've gotten a lot out of it, of course. And again, you can cancel it at any time. There's no thing. So you can go in there. But what we do have, you're right, we have a bunch of articles, a bunch of posts in there. We have like content that we've developed. This episode, we don't do video anywhere else because we try to remain relatively anonymous, you know, given the internet, but But we post video, this video episode, so you can actually see us. You can see me pointing at you. So you can see me pointing at you if you go to the member section. You can see what our expressions. If you're like one of those people who needs to see somebody smiling, there you go. You can go there and you can see that stuff too, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So what else, Chelsea? That's your real name. If that's your real name.
It's C Money, actually. C Money. Right.
Yeah.
I guess here's, I just want to clarify. So are we going to start out with the April 5th daily challenge, or are we going to just go right into the 6th?
Oh, we're going to start right out with the April 5th challenge.
Okay. Okay.
So you let me know if you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready, baby.
Are you ready? Okay. So we were talking before the show a little bit. We were talking because we do actually talk about a little bit of planning. And I don't mean to look like it, but Chelsea and I were talking about, okay, are we going to do April 5th? Which one's better, April 5th, April 6th? And we kind of decided that we would do April 5th and just read the challenge, because the challenge is about, the reading is about having a mantra, right? So if you guys have listened to it, if you haven't, go back and listen to April 5th. And it's about a mantra where I describe a guy in dolphin shorts telling me about mantras for the first time. And then at the very end of it, one of the challenges is like, you've got to get a mantra. It's like, and it basically says, you know, create one. So so before the show began, I asked Chelsea if she had a mantra. And then that's why we're talking about it right now, because I really wanted everybody to hear what Chelsea's mantra is, because it's the best fucking mantra I've ever heard. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me, this is like, yeah. And I just, you know, I got like one word mantras, right? You know, Chelsea got a thing. So Chelsea, are you
well,
are you
I told him to... it's not like a short one, but it's posted, like, it's on my phone, it's posted above my laptop, like the shit's everywhere, okay?
Okay, but before you get into yours, I do want to say, like, the mantras that I have, right? Because I'm just, yeah. I don't want to talk anymore about mine. You know, like, again, third step prayer, I consider that a mantra. Like, yeah, I get up in the mm-hmm. morning, blah, blah. And then the one that I've always had since I got into recovery, which is, you know, if you are persistent, you will get it. If you are consistent, you will keep it. That's kind of a mantra, right? And then the one big one, though, is it was in 2020 when I had my lung surgery. And I just clung on to the word breathe. And actually, it was right before lung surgery where I was doing like a lot of meditation, and I was doing these self affirmations. So I was writing on the mirror, like, you know, hey, Carl, you're a good person, you deserve to be loved, and these types of things.
I remember you talking about that.
And then, but above all that was this big letters, and it was just breathe, right? And so, ironically, I then go into the hospital, you know, like weeks later, like a week later. To you know, and then I come home and there it is again, and I'm like, oh yeah, breathe. And I've been doing that the whole time I was in the hospitals. I'd just be like, breathe, you know, Carl, like it's all gonna be okay. And that to me is like just like a big one for me. So all right, Chelsea, so I'm done with all my mantras, because I probably got a shit ton more, but I really appreciate yours. So like just kill everybody with your mantra.
All right, here it goes. It's note to self: always remember, you are a fucking badass motherfucking force of nature, and everyone can just go and suck a bag of dicks, because that's just how awesome you are. That's my mantra above my laptop.
I love that it's like, not only is it boosting yourself up, but anybody who gets in your way just needs to suck a bag of dicks.
Not just one, okay? A whole bag full.
So why is it that, can you discuss, like, why is it that you have, like, that one in particular? Again, and it's a lot, right? Like, why? Yeah. Like, first of all, do you have it tattooed anywhere?
No, but now I'm gonna have to consider that. Well, it started when I was going through nursing school, and someone sent me this card, and it had this mantra on it. Okay, so this is from a greeting card, And I was just feeling like super insecure, you know, like overwhelmed, kind of imposter syndrome. Like, I can't do this. Just feeling like a failure before I even started. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I posted that above my laptop, and I actually did this whole like collage to, like, I don't know, boost myself up and kind of give myself
kind of like I talk about it in the book. Yeah, it's like, hey, what do they call those things? Like a vision board kind of a thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. But like just below that vision board is this thing. And it was just kind of a reminder, because I would literally sit in this exact spot here for hours every single day, either doing classes or homework, studying, whatnot. And I would just, you know, it's a lot. Nursing school's a lot, and it beats you down. Like, it's no joke. And so I needed something to remind myself that I'm a badass, and everyone else who's like, you know, giving me shit, giving me a hard time, can go suck a bag of dicks, because I'm going to succeed, you know? So it was more so just kind of like trying to remind myself that this too shall pass. Like, you can get through it. You can do hard things. So that's why I like it. And it cusses.
Yeah.
So
And it has a bag of dicks. I mean, and that's really all that there is to it.
Right.
So
I'm sure that wasn't what you were expecting me to say.
But I do love that it, like, it is like when you're feeling at your lowest and you're feeling like, you know what, like, again, I'm not sure if I can do this. It's hard, and da da da. That you can, like, kind of, if you have it posted all around, I think it's even better, because it's like you'll stumble upon it, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, like, that's right. Like, this is what I've intended to do. This is like, this is not only who I, you know, it may not be how I feel who I am right now, but this is really who I want to be. So it's like that. It's kind of like that. So, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, buck up, buttercup, and let's get to this kind of a thing, which is great, you know. And again, mine is a little bit more, you know, breathe.
I love it. I love it.
Breathe, you little bitch, breathe.
Well, right next to, so I've got like another list that says like things to remember, and one of them says it's okay to cry, and in parentheses, a lot.
You
know, so
yeah.
And he, like, right next to you're a badass motherfucker, it's okay to cry.
Oh, so. Yeah. By the way, you may need to be crying about how much of a badass motherfucker you are. Yeah. No, I get that too. And again, we're all really complicated little creatures, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So the next thing is, the next thing is to tell the people, man, create your own fucking mantras. Do that shit. Write it up, you know, like, put it places, put it on your phone. I don't know.
And then email us and tell us what your mantra is, because I would love to hear what they are.
Exactly. And then put it on the Silver Pod Live thing. You know, whatever it is that, you know, that you do to reach out and make that shit active in the universe, put it out there. Okay. So then we're going to read April 6th, which is from, again, 366 fucking days sober book, which is $12.22. And if you go to soberpod.com, you can order it straight off of there. It'll jump you to Amazon. And then, and again, we only make $1.85 per book. And that is used to support the podcast. And since I don't have a job, you know, I really need it. Just say it. Okay. April 6th. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to read it. So when I read it, that means you're going to start answering, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure?
We're going to do it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. We're going to do it. All right. April 6th. Life on life's terms. What the fuck does that mean? When we live our lives on our terms, as we did during our drinking and drug careers, we are always at odds with ourselves and others. Really, we are at odds with life. Our desires are so overinflated that it causes us to kick and scream when we don't get our way. We struggle as we manipulate more and more to get what we desire. Eventually, We hurt ourselves and others as we continue to try and live life on our terms. Life has its ups and downs and its twists and turns. Rolling with that is our task in day-to-day life. Coming to terms with what we can and cannot control, see the Serenity Prayer, is a personal responsibility that we must emphasize in our thinking and our lives. Living life on life's terms involves evaluating our thoughts and desires and what we truly have control over in our lives. Reflections. Are you living life on life's terms? What desire do you have that are overinflated and cause you trouble? Daily challenge. Do you have a particular problem that has gone unaddressed? Have you tried to share that problem with a friend or a sponsor? If you haven't, try it today. All right, Chelsea. Life on life's terms. I know that we talk about it a lot. In this case, it was talking about our desires are so overinflated that they cause us to kick and scream when we don't get our way. It has a lot to do with like expectations and what we think life should be giving us. Or we struggle as we manipulate more and more, which is kind of like what I do. So Chelsea, what do you think of life on life's terms?
I think this is like going to forever be something that I struggle with, you know, and it's something that I deal with better some days than others. But at least anyone in recovery has dealt with, you know, not getting their way or feeling like it's not fair, feeling as if, they're being wronged somehow or, yeah. You know, and I'm no exception to that. I'm also like a person that loves having control over just about anything I can. And the funny thing about life is that you really don't have a whole lot of control over what happens, right? You have control over your own actions, thoughts, behaviors, and that's about it. You can't control, you know, whether you lose your job, right, Carl?
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking the exact same thing. So yeah.
in my case, like I'm fortunate in that I was able to get pregnant, but not everyone is able to conceive, you know? And so I'm blessed in that way, but it could be very different for someone else. And, that's dealing with life on life's terms. It's not always going to be what you want. And that's something I really struggle with. Just a dumb example is like at work, our unit has been like overstaffed. And so they'll send nurses from one unit to another unit somewhere in the hospital at the last minute. And sometimes they tell us, sometimes they don't tell us till we show up. And as someone who is like a creature of habit and likes a little bit of control, like I don't do well when people tell me last minute.
Yeah, don't change. By the way,
you're going to be at the complete other hospital up the hill. So get walking. And that's just like a small inconvenience, but like, did I have a little tantrum about it? Yes. It's just simply because it's not something that I had any control over and I could do nothing about it except accept my fate and walk up the hill. I think that's a silly example, but then there's like the harder examples of, you know, losing people. I text you, I don't know if it was like 2 weeks ago or so, but I found out that a friend of mine who also happened to have been a patient that I was helping for years, I found out he passed away about a year ago, and I didn't know that he had died from an overdose. That's life, right? I can't save everyone. I can't save anyone. People have to save themselves, right? But man, that was a hard, it was a hard pill to swallow. And I'm still kind of going through it and feeling, going through those stages of grief, because it's still fresh for me, even though he's been gone for a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't get to choose what happens to us. We get to choose how we respond to it.
That is absolute truth right there. That's the one thing I think that my sponsor, John, left me with a lot, right? It was like one of the, and it's actually all over the book, 366 days, right? It's actually like, I don't know how many times it's all over that, because it was a very prominent theme in my recovery, because John would always remind me, like, you know, it's like, it's all, you know, most of what this whole thing is, especially, you know, after I refuse reality while I was drinking, you know, because that was really it. Like I wanted nothing to do with reality. And that was like, you know, again, life on life's terms is absolute reality. It's truth and it's brutal. You know, it's something I want to totally ignore most of the time. So yeah, you're right. When it comes to death, or when it comes to, you know, here's a really good one. We were talking, you're like losing your job. And I'm like, yeah, losing my job, because I do need a job. But the other thing is that my Jeep just took a shit as well. So the engine blew up in my Jeep, and now I need to come up with 10 grand to my Jeep. And I know I texted you, and you were like,
man.
I was like, so you're like, I don't want to tell you what my mechanics says Jeep stands for. And then I was like, okay, what does it fucking stand for? And you're like, just empty every pocket. And I was just like, whatever. I just got like a coolant problem, you know? And then sure enough, it's like, I got a head.
Oh man.
A whole new engine. And then at the same, that's this last week, at the same time, I was renting my RV out because I can't afford to keep my RV anymore. And I was, you know, renting it out over like this last year. And some guy's in Texas with it. And then there's a transmission leak. Right. And so so then he hobbles it back from Texas. And then, so there's another, you know, vehicle, every vehicle that I have my name on at this stage has had to go in for major repairs in the last 3 weeks.
Oh no.
I know. And so talk about like, you know, life on life's terms. Like sometimes it just keeps coming, you know? And, and again, you know, I just, you know, before that too, you know, my friend Jason had died, you know, a couple months ago, I think it was a couple months ago now. In February. And so that's the thing, is it, you do kind of like learn through this process that like, one of the things about expectations that I have is that, or had anyway, is I had a lot of expectations for what was going on around me. I had a lot of expectations for, you know, other people as they participate in my life. And when those things aren't met on some level, you know, I turn into a little bitch, you know, and I'm like, you know, wah, it needs to be, wah, I want it to be, wah, you know? So the other thing is that I also had to come into terms, and it was a while ago, is that it's not personal, right? When somebody does something that's not within your, you know, so like with you and your rescheduling, right? Sending it over to a new floor. It's like, I think the more personal I take it, the less likely it is to happen to me for some reason. Like, I think, you know what I mean? Like the more angry or upset I get about it, like and I take it personal, the less likely that, you know, it's ever going to happen again or something, you know? And the fact is that, you know, life just has a way of just being fucking lifey, and it does what it does. And, you know, stock markets crash, people die, cars explode, you know, industries get revised and puts you on the outs. You know, you end up being, you know, 50 years old and not looking as attractive for the next hire. You know, these are the things that happen, and how you respond to them, which is to your point, makes every difference, right? You know, it's not what happens to us; it's how we respond to it that matters. And if I'm too busy being a complaining bitch most of the time, you know, what do I really get out of it? You know, so moving into acceptance and, you know, into a response that's more appropriate or at least productive. That's the idea, you know. And
yeah,
but before recovery, did you ever like how did you handle situations like that in recovery? Like, what did you used to do? Or no, I mean before recovery.
Before recovery?
Yeah.
Complain. Loved complaining. You know, pouting, try and manipulate, try and sway people's opinions so that, you know, they understand how this is unfair for me.
Sure.
You know, sure. This is against me. You know,
it's all about you.
Why me? Why me? You know, feel bad for me. My life is so hard, you know, like just manipulation to, and a little bit of attention and just wanting to feel validated and somehow in control, because if I can control others' narrative about what's happening, then I have some sort of control, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not really in control of the situation, you know. I remember like when I was younger, I had been like the captain of my soccer team for many years. And then one day the coach just cut me. And, you know, I think I had gotten complacent and a little bit lazy and mm-hmm. wasn't working as hard as I used to. And so what I did was I would just try and like sway everyone's opinion, like, oh, well, because my family's not, you know, filling his pockets like some other players
just looking
are,
for
you know,
reasons why. Not that yeah. you were lazy or anything else, but that there's some other nefarious force working yeah. against you. Yes.
Yeah.
There's
I was like, you know, these,
damn it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so just trying to sway people in like my direction of outrage, like,
yeah.
how dare you, you know, cut this beautiful, talented soccer player.
I mean, because, yes.
You know what I mean?
Because beauty has everything to do with soccer playing.
It does. I mean, look at David Beckham.
That's great. I agree 100%. I mean, I'm on your side, Chelsea, really. I am.
Yes. I do have a question, though. So under the reflections, it says, what desires do you have that are overinflated and cause you trouble? What do you mean by that? Give me an example.
And that's on reflections. Are you living life on life's terms? What desires do you have that are overinflated and cause you trouble? Money, property, and prestige, right? It's like the big mm-hmm. book really talks about like our overinflated desires, you know? You know, so when you talk about money, of course, I should get paid more. I should, you know, blah, blah. And these are like expectations, right? Of just like basic stuff. It's like, I'm worth more. Just kind of like what you're saying a little bit. Like, you know, I'm valued more. So prestige, like I should be the soccer captain, right? Period. You know, I should be lauded over. People should like, oh, like, Carl, your work is so great. Like, dude, like there's nothing more in the world that I long for than be like, tell me how good I am. And at the same time,
yeah.
if you tell me how good I am, I'll be like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Who are you? You know what I mean? So that's kind of the funny part about it. But that's like a reality of that. Like on a daily basis, it's like, you know, I want to be respected by my children, right? That I, you know, or I want to be, you know, consoled by my wife even, right? Because I have this desire to, like, you know, again, whether it be that I think too highly or too lowly of myself, in each case, I have issue on both of those spectrums, right? So it's like, so if I'm feeling too lowly, I'm self-pity and I want to be consoled. And that is really like, as I see it, a overinflated desire. Right, to be cared for, like, oh, poor Carl, right? You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, he doesn't deserve that, right? You know, it's like, it's all that kind of weirdness that we are, because when in reality, it's like one of the best things. It's like, you know, so going through all this stuff with my sponsor, it is great because it's like, you know, and you know, I love program for just this reason, which is like, you have like so many variety of people that you can call and talk to. And if you're doing it right, not looking to get like, you know, somebody to do that shit, right? You're like, oh, poor Carl, right? You know, what I'm really looking for is like a sense of reality, right?
Right.
And so life on life's terms, it's like, so when I call my sponsor, it's like, he reminds me, this is just a thing. This is just another thing. Your car blew up, period. Like, it didn't do it because you're a bad person. It didn't do it because, you know, you deserve it, right? It didn't do it, you know, it did it because it's a mechanical piece of machinery, and it does that. And by the way, it's a Jeep, which is just empty every pocket kind of machinery. And so that's why it did it, right? Not because, you know, I deserved it or that God decreed it, right? That's just how things are. So, and it's nice when you're like talking to people and you call to complain a little bit and you're like, yeah, my fucking Jeep and I got to spend 10 grand, da, 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 da. And then you end up talking about like the reality of it, which is, it's just another problem. And in the past, before recovery, man, I would just be like, you know, just be like another thing. And I just lose my shit. And I'm, just how it goes. Cause this is how my life is. And, you know, and it's just, it's fucking terrible to be that way because it's such wasted energy. And it does, it doesn't solve anything, you know, and it's really just like an emotional bullshit storm in order to, because after that, of course, so then if you had my life, you get to drink like I do.
Exactly.
And the more like the more bullshit in it, the worse it gets, and then, you know, and pretty soon bottles are piling up in my garage, and I'm just a miserable piece of shit firing off with my keyboard warrior ship on fucking Facebook, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just bullshit, you know, it's just a ton of bullshit. So yeah, I guess that's the, does that answer your question, like the overinflation of that stuff? Like,
yes.
So whether it be money, property, sex, or whatever, respect, whatever it is that is those things, you know. So what about you? Do you have any current overinflation needs or expectations? Like, so do you want attention still? I know you're not captain of the soccer team, but what about you? What about your current life?
My current life. Well, I'd say that this whole transition with like pregnancy has been interesting because, you know, I'm a very, very independent person, right? But there's a part of me that wants to like soak up this like dependency and be like, well, I'm pregnant, so
dude,
I can't.
I would milk it for all it was worth. I would be like first in line at the fucking, you know, grocery store, be like, excuse me, I need to go first because I am pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
And people would be like, in 9 months, bitch.
And, you know, I try to be reasonable, you know, like, but at the same time, like, I've left a lot on my husband's plate and I do feel bad about that. But I feel like, you know, it's just that expectation of, oh, now that I am, you know, growing a human, like everyone should be catering to me, right? And that's just not realistic. And I'm like, who is this person? Like, that's not who I am. Like, it's kind of been a weird transition. And I catch myself in doing that occasionally. So I think just trying to have the reality check, which my husband is great at doing, has been good for me. And I think everyone needs that type of person in their corner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't imagine being pregnant. Really, really can't. Never even thought about it. It just does not cross my mind at all. So, but I'd imagine if I would expect on some level, I would do it every once in a while. I would carry that a little bit, right? I would try to utilize, because we're only human, you know, it's not like, you know, but again, I think it's great that you're like checking yourself and you're asking like, well, who, come on, like, this is not me. This is not who I am, right?
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, it's easy to kind of slide into those roles sometimes, you know, with my lung surgery stuff. I mean, I could have easily just come out and been like, no, I'm going to take some time off for a couple weeks, you know, or, you know, rest on my laurels, quote unquote, I don't know, stretch out my sick time, whatever it was that I could have done. Most people actually do apply for disability at that situation, and then they stretch it out. Not me though. I was like, you know what? Like, that's not who I am. I am gonna get back on this horse, and I'm gonna ride, motherfucker. But that's it. But I think that had a lot to do with recovery, and it really has a lot to do with the attitude that we take in recovery. Everything I learned about how to live today, I learned through the process of recovery, and that's the idea. So, I think the life on life's terms is something that's like really, you have to experience it under the umbrella, with the tools of recovery in that sense. So you have to utilize the tools that you get, because then once you use them in the process, so early sobriety, it's like you get a lot of opportunity to utilize your tools, quote unquote, you know. So whether it's like stop when agitated or pause when agitated, whether it's calling your sponsor, whether it's like, you know, whatever it is that, think, all the other things that go along with it. You know, you get all these opportunities, but once you start to utilize the tool that you have, so whether that be journaling, I mean, all these other things, it's like you realize like, okay, this is what I do to move forward. And then when the next circumstance happens, you go, okay, this is what I did when that happened. I'll apply it this way, or I'll apply that same thing to this situation. And so that really does give you like these opportunities to start to, you know, establish your new life under new terms, where you're not responding to life's problems in that, you know, you're adding to your own problems kind of a way, right? Because again, it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond to it. So when we have those tools to respond, then we learn to do that stuff. When we start to apply it in all these other areas of our life, which in AA, they call it, practicing these principles in all our affairs, right? That's kind of how they term it. And which is, again, that's, you learn that shit over a period of time. It doesn't happen in 3 months. You know, you're not a brand new person going like, yeah, I'm, you know, great. Like I'm more patient. I'm more peaceful. And then the people who are saying that shit after being like rageaholics and shit, like they're just whistling past the graveyard. They just think that, you know, oh, they're just, I just stopped drinking and everything's going to be okay. No, that's not the truth. You know, they just stopped drinking and they're just wishing that everything was going to be okay. But there will come a time when it won't be. So if you're not stepping into your life, into recovery, if you're not trying to, you know, overcome or live life on life's terms, you're going to have some serious pain points that come up when you really don't want them. You know, they're going to get in the way of your progress for sure. Chelsea, did I just hop on a fucking soapbox? I think I just did. I'm going to hop off the soapbox now.
No, it's true though. It's true.
Yeah, it totally is. Okay, so do you have a particular problem that has gone unaddressed? Is the challenge question.
Particular problem.
So since going into recovery, before recovery, is there any particular problem that you feel like has gone unaddressed in your entirety of recovery? In the last 9 years, is there like something you go like, man, I should, I mean, you know what I mean? Is there anything that
I'm inclined to say no, because it's really hard to live a life of recovery with loose ends like that, you know, with mm-hmm. resentments, with, you know, grudges, what have you, with things that are unresolved. It's really hard to stay sober when you have those things lingering. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of AA and the program, I think, because you have to literally go through, if you're Carl, make a whole spreadsheet over, you know, don't your resentment.
I did. 99 people in my fucking, yeah, exactly.
Man, 99 little squares in Carl's
99 squares of hate. That's really what it is. That's .com right there. 99 squares of hate.
but it's hard to like move forward if you're holding on to things like that. Is it possible to stay sober? Yes, but I feel like it's just a lot harder. And so I'm inclined to say that I don't have any unresolved things quite that severe. You know, maybe I've got mm-hmm. a little annoyance or something that I've forgotten about that'll come mm-hmm. up and I'll have to address when I realize it. But for the most part, I would say that the big ticket numbers have been taken yeah. care of.
Yeah, exactly.
So
me too. I can't add any more to that because honestly, it's the same thing. It's like all the big ticket items done. Like, you know, it's like they're all just knocked out. You know, for the most part. But yeah, do I still respond in how I think that's one of the hard parts is like, again, whether, you know, cussing is the one thing I still need to really address. You know, and I know you're laughing.
Yeah, you're doing awesome. You've done you know, so well.
I know, so many people are like, yeah, Carl, I've counted 7 times this episode. Yeah. So, but yeah, no. And then I get in anger, like anger is still some, and especially if it's justified anger, if I know that you're in the wrong, right. And I'm angry at it. Oh boy, man, do I get to say it, you know? And I just think that again, that's another, more wasted energy. So these are a couple things that I see on my, my ticket that, yeah, it's like it, when it comes up, it's terrible, but it's not something that's like an ongoing thing that has been unaddressed. It's like, yeah, the funny thing is I say, has it gone unaddressed? Like, no, I'm addressing it. I'm still addressing it. And that's the idea. It's like, so I don't think there's anything that like I would need to uncover really that I'm aware of that I would be like, oh yeah, that's a surprise to me. Or like, you know, that somebody's been telling me that for the last 15 years and I just haven't listened. So, you know, because I have surely listened. There's no doubt about that. So, it's a long road. And I think that if you're just getting new into recovery, so listen up. If you're new, you know, none of this happens, you know, at your pace. It's all on life's terms, you know. So
yeah,
so that's the other thing is that you know when it does come up, you approach it, you try to do the best you can to address it, whatever the case may be. One of the things I talk about tools is like, you know, calling people. Like that's what I say, I love this about recovery. Like I have 4 or 5 people that I could totally call. The other day something happened where I got to call around and say, hey, is this a good idea? And you know, and each one of them said no. And without them, I would have said yes, right? Without them, I would have totally done it, right?
But then your they best call thinking. Around,
right? Yeah, exactly. And so it's stuff like that that like I really appreciate about a tool in recovery is like to be able to have this like mind share and be able to operate on that level and with people that know you on a consistent basis and who you are and that you haven't bullshitted or lied to, it's just invaluable. So it's that kind of stuff that really helps me to live life on life's terms because again, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to go be reactionary. I'm going to go do these things, et cetera. And one of the beautiful parts I've learned in this program is that that's just not always the best case, right? It's like, because I can go, I'm going to do this, but first I'm going to check in with so-and-so and see if I get a different answer, you know, and if I'm thinking correctly and those types of things. And in a lot of cases, I'm not, you know, but it has helped me to not have similar problems that would pretty much impact or affect me in the past. It doesn't happen today, which is really cool. Chelsea, what would you say to the newcomer, to the new person, to the neophyte, to the youngin, to the pigeons out there, what would you say?
Of course, it's not fair. Life isn't fair.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
you can sit and wallow in it. You can be pissed off about it, but that's not going to change the fact that life is going to move and do as it will, because that's not up to you. And so it's a matter of what you're going to do going forward. So you can be pissed off about it, but you know, that's not going to change anything. So try and channel your energy in places that you can, you know, courage to change the things you can, wisdom to know the difference, right? The very basics of the Serenity Prayer are what will help you through, you know, early sobriety and, you know, even later sobriety, just life in general. I still struggle with this because I'm a control freak And I get frustrated when I have zero control, you know, or I'll try and control the littlest things, like micromanage.
So to go back to the question, unaddressed, the control part. Just want to bring okay, that back okay. in there. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take
well,
it.
I think we all do. I think we all have some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But it's a work in progress, you know. It's mm-hmm. not something that I've completely avoided. It's something that I have talked about in therapy and done X, Y, yeah, and Z yeah. about.
It's not just, unaddressed. It's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, yeah. It's just a constant work in progress. You know, just like do the best that you can, reach out for help. And yeah, it's going to suck. Life sucks sometimes.
I love that. We have no like hope on this show.
Sorry, we're realists.
Yeah,
like
yeah, life on life's terms, and it's just going to suck. So keep coming back and keep your
shit
up.
It's going to suck sometimes. Not all the time, but, you yeah, know, for sure. definitely some of the time.
For sure. Okay, so with that, anybody who has bought the book, by the way, I want to thank you for buying the book because, again, that money has been put towards keeping this. This is like the first year, I think, that we broke even this last year, so that was great. And I do want to thank V for the SOS meetings on Saturday. So that's 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can go to soberpod.com and go to the homepage and scroll down a little bit, and it'll be right there. It says SOS meetings. It has the Zoom ID, and it has the password, you can go there. And it's a very chillax meeting, so I think you really enjoy it if you have your time available on Saturdays. Friends in Recovery for always singing our praises and for still reading from our book, which is awesome. So they incorporated the book into their show sometimes, and it's really cool to see how it is read by other people other than just me and you, Chelsea. Because like, you know, believe me, I would have wrote the book just for me and you, but I would really hope that other people would use it too. And so it's really neat to see them do that stuff, and that they're just getting a lot out of it. And then of course. From you, Chelsea, because I really appreciate it when we come on and talk, because it just feels, again, no change, right? It's like I really appreciate our once a week, and it just keeps me kind of like in our foundational, like our foundational worlds of recovery. I don't know how else to say that, but it really does make my week sometimes. So yeah. And then to catch the update, you know, again, how many months pregnant are you now?
I'm almost six. I'm 25 weeks. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So it's moving.
It's moving.
It's moving.
Whether I like it or not.
It's moving. All right. So pretty soon it'll just pop out of your stomach like the alien yeah. movie and all that stuff. Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, yo. So Chelsea, what do you say to the kind, loving, caring, affectionate people?
Doses.
And I say stay active, stay sober, and see ya.
Motherfuckers.
just gonna be part of it now. We just can't do it.
Soberpod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. It was a sight to see them. Yeah. Breakfast was Sprite and Seagrams. Oh. Wrestling with my vices, exercising my demons. My blessings were blocked, so I never got the message. I'm stressing, I'm only 12 steps from an exit. Damn. Regret it, because my imperfections were perfected. I ain't run from it, I accept it and rep it. It's a badge to me. Good stories come from a tragedy. And when you survive, the glory will come in Act 3. Three. The wait's over. 366 fucking days sober. Morning affirmations that can start the day for you. Use my favorite book. Mark for a placeholder. Finish when the day's over. Okay. 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 Yeah. Sober pod. Keep it authentic. No facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.